all those beautiful people in this neighborhood. Hey, let's beautify the neighborhood. Stay indoors.
To get ahead in business.
Good luck.
Thanks. Oh, and I'm glad you gave me the right finger.
Sometimes you have to play ball.
Chester, my company sponsors a girls' soccer team.
I'm coaching the Ladybugs. It sort of goes with a promotion, you know?
It's a big office right next to mine just waiting for a guy like you.
What the hell do you know about soccer?
You kick the ball down the field into the net. Try and control the ball. Forget the ball. Try and stay on your feet. Oh, I'm off to a great start.
What he doesn't know.
Win the game, win the game, win the game.
Could get him fired.
Get the book, get the book, get the book.
I can't look.
Hey, what are you, a fish?
What he's willing to try.
What?
Could get him arrested.
No, you're crazy, Chester. It'll never happen.
Chester put a boy on a girl's soccer team.
How?
Don't worry. If it's too tight, you'll get used to it. Meet our new ladybug, Martha. Give her a big ladybug reception, all right? And after the game, no showers.
Now all the girls are going skinny dipping.
I'm here to pick up my daughter, Martha. Get in the car, quick. These heels are killing me.
But let the competition beware.
Let them fight. Let's try to win at something.
Nobody plays the field like Dangerfield.
You keep up the good work. This time next year, you'll have 10 men under you.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Hey, Dave, can you make it women?
Ladybugs.
All I know is I got a lot of balls.
It's so funny when the girls are mad at soccer.
Welcome to Recap and Gown, a podcast where four old millennials talk about the high school and college movies from back in the day when we were high school and college students to find out what made the grade and what should have been held back. Representing the class of 03, I am your co-host Crooks. Joining me this week and every week, he sings like an angel and drinks like a fish, the class of 04's own Big Hearn, David Oscar Hernandez. What up, Dave?
Not much. Had a bit of a mafia movie sort of film festival on Sunday. I don't know why. I was like, it was Goodfellas. Casino. I watched Scarface.
Oh.
And I also watched the original Scarface. The one from
Original Scarface?
Yeah. Which has nothing to do with Cubans in Miami.
I was gonna say, is it about Capone?
I don't think so.
Some third gangster with a scar on his face, huh?
Yeah, just some other gangster. Yeah. Capone before. But yeah, it was nice. I forget. Oh, Goodfellas is. I mean,
it's my favorite film of all time. It is a flawless fucking picture. Like, it's really, really, really great. I had a recommendation. Now I can't. On Hulu. I believe, I'm guessing it was originally a French series called The Interpreter of Silence. Fucking great. It's about a German woman. I think it's like 1963, I want to say.
Yeah.
But she is an interpreter for Polish people that are coming to give testimony about what happened in Auschwitz.
Mm.
And I don't know why I didn't realize this, but like German people didn't know that happened at the time. Like they found out about it from the trials. And so she's interpreting and she's like, what he's saying doesn't make sense. Like I'm confused by some of these words. And then because she's like, I do like business contracts and shit. So she has to get a dictionary and she's like, why is he talking about a gas chamber? What is this? What is a concentration camp? Oh, so she has to like learn about all this that happened from the interpreting she's doing. It is phenomenal. I thought it was German. But all the names in it are French, so it's either French or maybe like Swiss. But who, it's fucking great. Yeah, I highly recommend that. Flying solo in the Lone Star State, this podcast chief youth sports and trivia correspondent from the class of 01, Dana Griffin. What up, Dana?
Not much. Was this based on like a true story or is it fiction?
I don't know. I mean, I would assume that it's got, you know, some element of truth to it. I don't know if this character was a real person or if this is like a cobbled together collection of stories from people that did this job. But yeah, like watching her, there's a moment where she goes to the trial and is listening to like the opening statement from another person that she's not interpreting for. And she is like very clearly wrecked from hearing this. And it's long. It's the guy, the opening statement is just the prosecutor reading all the charges. And it just goes on and on. I'm just like, oh, Jesus. And these aren't like the hardcore Nazis. One of the guys, like a gynecologist who just happened to also go work at the camp to kill people and shit. It's fucked up. But yeah, it's on,
intense.
It is, but the acting is great. And yeah, highly recommend it. And the voice acting is also good. A lot of times if you get shit dubbed, it sounds like shit. They did a good job with the voice acting in it. So yeah, I am satisfied.
Oh, so you're not reading subtitles.
Oh, absolutely not. English. They make some odd choices where whenever they say hello, they say Guten Tag, but they have that in German with subtitles on the bottom of the screen. And I'm like, well, weird choice to do everything translated except for like hello. They always say, have them say Guten Tag instead of just hello.
They want to remind you.
The German writing everywhere is a pretty good reminder.
These people are German.
Don't forget. Yeah.
Guten Tag.
Let's not forget. This is Frankfurt. Let's not forget. This week we are talking about Ladybugs from 1992. I forgot to write down where it's streaming because all my shit was full of lies. So
yeah,
Dana, they lied to you.
Yeah.
They lied to you.
Hoopla, baby. Hoopla.
Dave Walsh got a hoopla through his local library.
Yeah, man.
Rent it.
It said it was on Showtime. And I'm like, I have access to that. And then I went there and it's like, the fuck you?
No.
It's not here.
The damn.
I had.
Right?
It was Paramount Plus via Apple TV. That is how I get Paramount Plus. And it was like, no. And then to add insult to injury, I fucking then had to pay for it on Apple TV to rent it. And in the opening credits, it's the fucking Paramount Mountain. I was like, so
it sure is. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I went to go watch it on Showtime. It wasn't there. I paid for it on Amazon. So we know you can get it through Amazon or rent it through Apple TV.
Hoopla.
Enough. Or Hoopla if you go to your local library.
The insult.
It's wild.
Plus, you're at it again. I know I yelled at you a couple weeks ago because I thought you purposely did not have an episode of... Untucked
wasn't on there,
but that was just, I think that whole episode has been scrubbed from the internet for reasons we'll never understand. But this I was told by Just Watch, and then as the credits begin, Paramount Mountain with the fucking stars on it, and I am like, my $4.32.
Oh my god. So you can get it there. The synopsis via Rotten Tomatoes: forced to coach a girls' soccer team, a salesman stacks it with his girlfriend's son in disguise. This motherfucker's not forced to do anything. This is his idea. He volunteers to do this.
This is his hustle, his swindle. Right.
The rest of it, though, yeah, that's basically it. Just a guy puts a boy on a girls' soccer team. That's basically the entire fucking movie. Dana, if you could give us a rundown of who's in this movie.
Must I? Isn't this Dave?
Is it Dave? Dave, you do it. I don't fucking know. One of you guys do it.
All right, cool. Rodney Dangerfield as Coach Chester Lee. Jack A. Harry. Is that pronounced right?
Yeah, but she's just credited as Jack A in this movie. She was a one name person back at the time.
Yeah, great. Jonathan Brandis as Matthew or Martha.
Martha.
Creative. Eileen Graff plays Bess. That's Chester. I don't know if they're fiance or cohabitating.
I think they're just boyfriend, girlfriend who live together.
I got relationship questions.
She's wearing a ring at some point.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe they're engaged. We'll talk about what's happening
all of
in a little
possible.
Bit.
Vanessa Shaw plays Kimberly Mullen. The owner of the company is Dave Mullen. That's Tom Parks. Who do we still give a shit about? I don't know. Some of the players.
One of the coaches is Farmer Fran, and another coach was the women's gym coach from Rock and Roll High School.
Blake. So we got those two in there. Blake Clark is Coach Bull. I always thought Clark was a Murray.
He looks like a Murray. Rock and Roll High School. She's the gym teacher from Porky's. Yeah, that grabs that kid's dick and breaks it off.
Yeah, Bill Clocter. He was like, how am I supposed to identify the penis or whatever the hell she says? Like,
yes. That's her. That's basically it, though. I mean, the rest of the cast is like a bunch of fucking nobodies.
Yeah. Pester. Penny. Yeah. Penny. That's a terrible Penny name. Pester.
Well, Jambi Swanson. It's bad.
That's plenty.
Yeah. I doing the deep dive, pretty much all the girls in the team, except for like one, this is their only credit ever. So yeah. a bunch of nobodies. Let's go around the horn here and give some memories of the first time we saw this one. Dana, what do you got?
I'm sure I watched. I know I watched this a lot. So probably not in the theater, because I would have been like 9 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely watched this on VHS. And then whenever it pops up on whatever cable, I feel like I probably watched maybe like some sort of sanitized version many times.
You might have. This movie had a lot of language. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Well, it's PG-13, which I didn't realize. And I was like, oh, I keep saying ass and shit. And,
they say ass, bitch, bullshit. Like, oh, God. Jesus.
Yeah. It's bewildered. So, yeah, wild. Just probably a lot as a kid. But the first time, can't figure that out.
Okay. Dave, how about you?
It was a VHS tape that my grandmother taped off of HBO or one of them.
Yeah, it checks out.
One of them. And she's like, watch this. I'm like, okay.
watch this.
And I did. And I remember as a kid being like, you know what? This is comedy. This is very, very funny. And I think I was like, Jonathan Brandis is pretty cool. He was in Sidekicks and I like that movie. So sure this is good too, right?
I think it's better than Sidekicks.
I guess I thought that's a damn
lie. High bar.
Joe Piscopo's virtuoso performance.
Sidekicks. He drove the entire movie. I mean, you didn't really need anybody else in that movie. Really.
All those costumes.
So yeah, that's probably a couple years after it came out, I'm guessing, because it took a while for things to get to cable. So 94, probably about 9, 10 years old.
So yeah, like Dana, I didn't see it in the theater, but I grew up in a household where soccer was the primary sport for me and my brother at this age. So this got pretty heavy, like rental and cable rotation. Also, don't recall the first time I saw it. It feels like this is a movie that was on like HBO at 1:30 p.m. every day for several years. They played it a lot, like in the middle of the day, it felt like to me. Dana, rewatching as an adult, did it make the grade or should they have held this back?
I don't know how you make this now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't, is what
there
you
were
do.
Just so many parts of it that I was like, I don't think I really understood some of these jokes as a kid.
I did not.
This is what everybody's afraid of with these bills.
It's exactly what they're afraid of.
And it's like, this isn't what's happening, you
no!
lunatics.
No.
So I'm surprised this hasn't been used in like some of the grounds that some people use to keep transgender children out of. I'm surprised it's not.
Ladybug
Look
Law.
At this document, like documentary Martha's I Law. Found, you know, like, yeah, like I'm really surprised it's not held up as the God's honest truth to those people. We had, I was going to say Gordon Gekko. That's not him. Gordon Bombay.
Gordon Bombay.
To coach a kid's ice hockey team last week to keep his job.
Same family, but.
Yeah. It's like, what were we doing in the 90s? With like, oh, we got to get these adults in these kids movies. Well, that's
fucking weird.
I don't know.
It's fucking weird. You know,
it's a choice. This was a choice. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting you bring up that it's surprising this hasn't been used as like documentary evidence. There's a show or a movie, one of the two, coming out soon, out now. I think, is it a Ben Shapiro project or something? One of those right-wing assholes, Jordan Peterson, somebody, made a movie about a team of boys playing basketball who decide to be in the girls' league, and they are like the Harlem Globetrotters because boys are better than girls at everything. And I don't know if they get comeuppance at the end. If the church comes in and like shuts them down, I'm not sure what happens, but it's called like, something. Balls is in the title.
It's called Balls.
I don't know if it's called Basketballs but Balls is right in the title. I'm like, oh, the fuck, man.
Sounds like that Song of Freedom thing.
It probably is produced by the same company.
Which that guy, well, I think, has connections.
to little Karen.
Behaviors for children.
Kitty diddler. Dave, anyway,
that's this film. Yeah.
Did it make the grade for you?
Came in at a taut 90 minutes, which I appreciated. that was still too long. budget was $20 million. I'm like, where?
Well, how much did they pay Dangerfield?
10.
And Jack A. Nobody else got paid.
Because
there was no money on the screen.
I just don't see it. There's like a rented bus. He's driving some Pontiac van that they don't make anymore.
Yeah, he's driving.
Maybe that was top of the line
that?
At the time.
No, no, it wasn't. A Pontiac Transport minivan. It? Yeah,
is that right? Great.
Not transport. Trans space sport was how they spelled it.
Wow, the acting is fucking horrendous. And unlike Mighty Ducks, the sport is almost unwatchable. It is
the soccer they are playing is horrendous.
It is not only is it slow motion, it's just you could tell they're being set up and they're like, okay, move now. And they're like,
yup.
Huh? What?
There's a part where one of the girls dribbles through the whole defense, and you can see the defenders like get out of her way. And I'm like, just stand in her way. Like, she'll have to stop or go around you. They are actively avoiding her. As though she's a flying V.
We're not going to spend money to teach them how to play soccer. We don't have time.
Or just get girls who know how to play soccer already. Just get a high school soccer team.
And a lot of the jokes were bad. I don't think I'm a big Dangerfield fan.
Oh.
He's pretty good. There are some
you don't have respect for Dangerfield?
I guess I don't.
I guess not.
Not big time, but there were a couple jokes where I'm like, oh.
That's Rodney's whole thing. I don't get
no respect. No respect at all. My wife, etc.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
Bad acting, bad sporting. Not good.
There are times where I say an objectively bad movie made the grade because the nostalgia got me there and carried it over the finish line. This ain't one of those. Rodney Dangerfield is hilarious in this movie. Sorry, Dave. But he's always hilarious. Like, he plays himself. He does one thing. It always kind of hits for me. But pretty much everything else about this movie falls flat. I don't want to cheer for Jonathan Brandis. They set him up as, like, a piece of shit asshole. So, like, I don't want to cheer for that guy. I don't really know why he's doing what he's doing in the movie. There's giant plot holes that we're going to talk about. And I genuinely felt uncomfortable three times with the way they portray or talk about these little girls. Three things that Well, because there are other times
you're uncomfortable three times while watching this film.
Because I mean, the rest of it was like fairly anodyne shit. There's three moments that stand out to me like, the fuck were you doing?
Okay.
Did the Good Burger guy make this movie? Like, it's got fucking problems. They should have held this back. And it's not even a case where they could fix a couple of parts and make the movie good. Like, the whole premise is a wreck. So, this was deeply unfortunate. Before we get into the recap and the segments, any fun facts on this one?
The only thing I found was that I believe Whoopi was offered the Jack A role.
Oh, I don't like that.
And
make Whoopi the
Rodney
Dangerfield role.
Yes.
Give us an Ed. That is Jack A.
Give us Ed.
Yeah.
Eddie.
I thought it was
Eddie.
Called Ed.
No.
So she was offered this, either portray like the Jack A role or take the lead in Sister Act.
I was gonna say this had to be same time as Sister Act.
Yeah. And she chose the latter film because she felt it would be more successful, and she was right.
And also, you're the lead. Yeah. You're not Rodney Dangerfield's sidekick.
But I don't think anybody like saw the potential of Sister Act. And I'm like, Sister over this film? Give me Nuns.
Well, you know what?
Give me a lounge singer and some Nuns.
You know what, though? I get it. I'll tell you why. 92, the World Cup was in the U.S. So soccer frenzy was at a peak. And also, like, a movie about a nun singing music doesn't really sound good. If you take Whoopi out of it, the movie's not any good. It's good because Whoopi does it.
Yeah, Bette Midler passed on it, and she regrets.
Put Jack A in that role, not as good.
I didn't think it'd be interesting.
It'd be fun, not as good.
World Cup here, 1992, great. This film is about a man who dresses his fiance's
but
son
it's soccer
as a girl.
Well,
I guess this is Has Joanna Man come out yet?
No. No. What was his name? Something Nunez. He wasn't even like, because he was on Sparks first, which was an often forgotten black UPN sitcom about a law firm starring Uncle Phil.
Okay. This is Joanna Man was 2002. So this is a whole decade.
It's a while before Joanna Man.
One thing I noticed about this movie when I was looking at it on Wikipedia, it was produced by Al Ruddy.
Who that?
You know who Al Ruddy is? He produced The Godfather. If you saw that show on Paramount Plus, The Offer, portrayed by Miles Teller.
Nope.
It's like,
wow. Does he produce a lot of The Godfather? Does he produce Prestige and then this?
He produced The Godfather and this.
Is that it?
Oh, and Cannonball Run, and The Longest Yard.
He is covering the bases here. Wow.
Burt Reynolds phase. Right. Honestly, guys, have you watched Cannonball Run? I think I've talked about this.
Not in a long time.
The plot of that movie blew my fucking mind. We had to pause so I could research. Because I was like, what do you mean you can't get cores west of the Mississippi?
Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
Well, I thought that was Smokey and the Bandit.
That's Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, Cannonball Run's about the gumball rally, basically.
I thought it was gumball. Oh. It's like it's nonstop. Well, not nonstop, but
you gotta stop at some point.
As fast as you can from midtown Manhattan to the Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah,
that's right. Phil wants to do that, but in my head, they're the exact same thing. Cannonball Run and Smokey and the Bandit. Same film. I've only seen one of them. Same premise in my head. We're trying to get beer east of the Mississippi.
They're fast driving movies, you're right. all right, let's get into the recap and the segments here then. I wanted to start with the premise of the movie, because like I said, the premise is bullshit and it's got a whole lot of plot holes that make the whole movie kind of fall apart. But for those who haven't seen it recently, I had forgotten this is part of it. In my mind, it's just he's a soccer coach. I didn't know this was a harebrained scheme. So Chester is the best salesman in his company, but can only get a promotion by coaching the boss's daughter's soccer team to greatness. That is essentially where we're set up here.
We get
a scene where he is going up to talk to his boss, and we see his boss in the office telling his wife that there's a guy who thinks he's getting a promotion, so he has to give him the bad news. But it's not like there was another guy who got the promotion. It's not like Rodney got passed up for a job. Also, I don't think he's in line for a promotion. He just goes up there and stammers for 30 seconds and then doesn't get it. So I'm just like, we're going into this with a weak, weak reason for him to do this.
Well yeah, it starts in a self-help seminar.
Yes.
He gets all jacked up on that.
No, he gets all jacked up on that. I am great. I am wonderful. Everybody likes me. Number one, not true. You're not great. You're not wonderful. Not everyone's going to like you.
No.
It gave him some dumb ideas that he was some delusions of grandeur, maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, that dude was doing a Hitler impression. 100%.
What the fuck? I thought I put it. Bill and I were like, did I pick the wrong film? What the fuck is going on?
Right? Because why don't we start with soccer? why are we starting with this shit?
Yes. I had no recollection of that.
No.
Also, what does Mullen Industries do?
So malls? They build malls. At least they, I don't know if they. I believe they build malls. Do? So that he's got that model of the mall in his office that Rodney fucks up.
Yeah, so then is Rodney selling space in the mall? Is he selling
his job is to sell space in the mall. Because he was you put me on it, I have no business left in 3 months. I'll be full. That's his whole thing. He's like, I'm gonna sell the whole mall myself. his whole position. Yeah. He walks in and is like, hey, I need money. Give me a raise and a promotion, please.
Also, I feel like salespeople are not, at least maybe things are different in tech. I feel like the salespeople I work with are, if they're the best, are banking money because they get a commission off of the sale.
That's a good point. How is he the top salesman and not rolling in dough? That is a good point.
Gambling debts?
Delusion. I don't think he's actually the top
But I think he is.
I have my doubts.
I think he is because he tells his boss he was. So his boss would be like, you haven't sold shit in 2 months. Like,
is he wasting money on these motivational? Like, what is his
advice? I don't know.
That
he's not buying a new fucking car. That's for sure. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's a company car because there's
it's got the branding on the side of it.
Yeah. There's a ton of Mullen vans.
Yeah.
Also, another random question that I had, and this is just way too much money to spend on like the opening 10 minutes of this film. Why was his office covered in like fish posters? I thought they did something with fish.
Well, and
goldfish.
Well, at first glimpse, I thought that was Jack A's office because she's in there by herself. And then he like walks over and talks to her. And I'm like, is she super into freshwater fishing? Like, what is? Because it's not okay, for those who've not seen it, as Dana said, his office is like wallpapered in fish posters. But yeah, it's not like, here's a cool picture of a fish. It's like, here are all the fishes in North America with like a 2-inch illustration of each. It's like, what is this?
It's not like decorative. To me, it looked like, when I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, Mullen Industries is a fish hatchery.
Yes. Yes.
And they populate different things. Because it just fishing made... holes.
Like, yes, it was confusing. It wasn't it was 50 of them.
Again, I think I said this last episode. It's Charlie with the red string level mm-hmm. of fish posters. It's yes. not like beautifully organized and framed. Like, or maybe he fishes as a hobby. Would love any of that. But
this
I
is the office
like,
of a madman.
If a supervisor came walking by, or maybe the vice president or something looks at that and like, what the fuck is this guy?
Fire this guy immediately.
We don't do anything with fish. It's we're
a little bit of personalization
space.
Is fine, but this is
well, yeah, this and is that's too the much, thing. Man. Because Dana, now that you mentioned it, I have to imagine he brought in one poster a day for 8 weeks to put them up. You're not hanging this all at one time. This is little by little. Like, oh God.
They 100% filled in an actual office, and that's Jerry's office, and we can't take this stuff down.
That's just weird Jerry's desk.
We can't take it down. It's just, we're just not going to be able to put them back on the right way, so we have to
It's a load-bearing poster.
Don't touch my posters.
Load-bearing poster.
It's like, it's what's his name with the staple?
Oh my God, Milton. It is Milton with the stapler, his red swing line.
Oh, we're going to have to take, can't take this down.
Can't take it down.
We don't have time to find a new, fine, let's just go.
It's integral.
Roll. It's really $20 million. We can't
build a soundstage. So In this pitch where he's like stammering through his words, he sounds like, if you guys remember the Adam Sandler character, the excited Southerner, he sounds like that. Can't finish a sentence.
Yeah.
just can't finish a sentence. So we find out though from his stammering that he wants to get married to his girl fiance, but will only propose after he gets promotion so that she can quit her job. Like, he's like, well, I want her to stop working, we're going to quit her job. And I'm like,
different time, man. Different time.
You know, this is where the plot begins to fall apart. I think there's still credits on the screen while this scene plays out. But he wants to get married. She wants to get married. He won't propose until he makes enough money for her to quit his job. It feels like something a dude says when he doesn't want to get married.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like, oh, I want to get married to you, believe me, but I have to be financially secure first. That's the ticket. Like, it just sounds like bullshit. It's like, I looked up. He was 71 at the time. What the fuck are you waiting for? Retire, first of all.
Yeah.
But just like, you don't have that much time left, Rodney. Like, you better get this done now.
Well, Chester is obviously not 71.
I don't know that it's obvious. He might be 81. He looks terrible.
Dude, well, it's...
Leaves his hair blonde. He's a spry 62. 59.
He looks awful.
He looks terrible. It's really... really, really bad.
So that's where things begin to go off the rails. And then there's a question that I don't think I even realized until the movie was over. This movie has no antagonist, and I think it needs one. Mm. Like, the situation is the antagonist. The situation is like, oh, someone's going to find out. You need to have like another guy at the company who's trying to screw Chester out of the promotion, or like a guy who works with Bess and is trying to get with her. Or like a parent or coach from an opposing team who's like, oh, that's a dude right there. Like, needs somebody
Matthew's
else.
Father is involved.
I assume he's deceased. But like, we needed somebody, an actual person on their trail.
Like the guy from Die Hard who's like, oh, John, baby, come on, listen to me, man.
Yes.
Who's your friend to your face and then just behind your back.
Yeah. Well, we need somebody who is suspicious.
Yeah.
Because no one's suspicious. There's not a single suspicious person, not a ref. There is no one suspicious. And so we needed one person to be like, it'd be easy to make it be like, oh, a teacher at his school has a kid on another team and then sees him and is like, nope, I fucking know that kid. Give me something. But there is no antagonist in the movie. Even the boss, who should be the antagonist, is like, Rodney, you're doing great. And I'm like, hold on.
He's evil to his daughter. I know that's not the same thing. He's rude to his daughter. But I guess, like, the movie, as Dave pointed out, is a tight 90.
It is.
So. 90.
So,
it's weird that it's that long. Like, yeah, look at that many scenes.
Which, if you cut out the credits at the end, it's probably like what's 125?
Yeah.
So if you're going to introduce an antagonist, we're making this film longer. What are we cutting?
I have a number of things I can cut, and I'll bring them up as I talk about them. I'll just mm-hmm. cut that out. But there were ways to do that, because, like, you look at, I mean, this is essentially the same. Well, it's not. I was going to say it's the same movie as Mighty Ducks. It ain't. But I mean, if you can make Mighty Ducks 90 minutes, there's an antagonist in that. He doesn't need to be in every scene.
Wasn't it 140?
Something. Yeah, it was a little bit longer. Regardless. I think the movie is hurt by the fact that there's not anybody out there who is trying to expose this scheme. Like, somebody should be on it. And I think Matthew's dad is perfect for that. I think you're right. I think have Matthew's dad as like a macho dude who is blatantly homophobic would solve the problems.
Okay. That's too much. That's too much. A rival salesman who is going to like blackmail Rodney. Who knows about this? I think that worked. We don't need like a dad. It's too much because it is fucking weird. But I think
the dad would be correct. You're right. I think if it's a rival salesman, that makes perfect sense to me.
The movie just like ends. So I also just think like, there's no ramifications.
No,
I guess but there's no ramifications for putting this boy on this girl's team.
No, the closest thing we get to an antagonist at the end of the movie is like hugging Chester and telling him what a great job he's done. So it's like, you're working for the bad guy now, pretty much. Now, I was thinking about this, and it felt like in the 90s, there were a bunch of plot lines about like having to do something nuts so the boss will be impressed. I think back to, I think The Simpsons did it best when they had Superintendent Chalmers come over to Skinner's house and find that he's making steamed hams.
Offers for steamed hams, yes. Aurora Borealis.
Aurora Borealis. Like the
entirely centered in your kitchen in this part of the country at this time of year. In
can
daylight,
I see it?
No less.
Can yes. I see it? Nope.
No.
Like that, that you needed, like, there was a lot of that at the time. And I think when I watched this, I'm like, oh, what a 90s thing. I think that's been with us since we had TV. Because, like, I can think of sitcoms from the 50s and 60s where the whole episode is like, the boss is coming over for dinner. There's all this pressure. I'm the husband, so I can't help. You are the wife. Fix everything. And if you don't get it right, it's your ass. And it's like,
they just did it on WandaVision.
Oh, I've not seen WandaVision.
And like most 90s tropes, there is a Mr. Show sketch that's very funny. There's a guy whose boss... his boss's wife gives the guy a bean casserole to eat for his family. And the boss comes over. It's like, so what'd you think of that bean casserole? It was really good, but he'd thrown it away and never ate it. It's like, well, I don't hear you farting. I'm like, what?
Well, go ahead and fart.
So he gets a guy who can fart on command to fart. It's ridiculous, but it's like, it's that sort of thing where it's,
But this was a trope. I don't think we do it anymore. I think there might have been an episode of Modern Family about that, but I don't think that we're still doing that so much. But like, because I like the boss that I had at like my last job where I was in the same office. If she wanted to come over for dinner, fine. There's no pressure. I'm gonna get drunk, so like I'm not gonna have to like make a show about it. But yeah, this felt like such a weird premise, like an antiquated premise for a movie, But yeah. The movie's 31 years old, so I guess that makes sense. Now
that is weird.
It's, like, why it's would weird.
You need to show your boss your home? Don't come yeah. to the house.
Well, I mean, I think it's just one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, of course the boss and I live in the same neighborhood because we work at a company that's in town and it's a block away from the house. Like, this was how things yeah. used to be back in the day.
I very worked fucking in the weird. Same state as my boss for like 5 years.
I mean, when I was working in the office, my boss and I were legit close. I coached her daughter's soccer team at one point in time. Like that
are you dressing up little boys?
No, it was a co-ed team though.
But did you get any respect? Because I hear that's a problem in this film.
The kids respected me a lot, I think.
Oh, good.
They were five, so maybe not. But at the time, I felt respected.
Okay.
Now, this movie, as I said in the beginning, is chock-a-block with plot holes. There are so many of them, and they like fundamentally make the movie not make sense. So the first one we get, we never have any explanation for what happened to the coach of this team. We set up when Rodney goes in there to wet his pants while asking for a promotion. We find out that the guy who owns the company, his daughter's soccer team is like the Don Dada of soccer, pretty much. They're just like, yeah, we win every fucking year. I think they have a couple of the moments where they show their previous titles, and it's like we won, it's like 86, 87, 89, 90, 91 or some shit is like their streak of winning whatever.
Very Mighty is. Ducks, except for that yellow yep. 1973 yep. banner.
They had 1 year they didn't win it. So we never get an explanation of what happened to the original coach in that scene where the Mullins are talking. Quick aside, hilarious that they portray her as like the sexiest woman you've ever seen in your whole life when like she's dressed up in contempo casual the entire fucking movie. I'm like, oh, it's a very 90s look for her to be like a hot woman.
Well, it was also just so weird. And maybe this is good that it was this way, that it was like, oh, it's his own wife. Like, I feel like normally that just would have been like another secretary aside.
Sure would have been.
Or whatever. So I did Mistress. Appreciate that. that it was his wife or Mullen's wife, and yes. Rodney was like ogling, however one wants to say
ogling,
that.
I believe.
Ogling.
I have heard both of you mentioned it, though.
Right? Yeah. And I was just like, this is so weird because, like, it's his, and that's like, that's how, what I'm conditioned. I was like, this should be a secretary, a mistress, or whatever.
Yes.
But yeah, her outfits, well, the skirts were very short.
They were short, but the blouses went down to the wrist and up to the neck the whole time. It was just gams, just legs out.
That was the fashion.
Yeah.
The fashion.
Well, clearly it was, because, I mean, the movie portrayed her as like a real sex symbol, and it wasn't for jokes. It wasn't done for comedy. It's like, oh no, we're supposed to all look at her and go, yeah, I get it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't get it.
What if he's ass?
Right, yeah, dude. She like pulls out a Virginia Slim. I'm like, oh, this is the best 90s.
But what about the pancake butt? So we have this scene between the Mullins, and we hear the wife is like, yeah, the last coach was great, but he's gone. We need a new coach. And then they have practice, I think, later that day. So, like, this is a rec league, a la Mighty Ducks. How the fuck do these kids know where to go for practice? When to get there? How did they get their uniforms if they have no
full
coach?
Kits. Full kits at practice.
There was no alternate, so they only had one kit. But still, like, somebody gave you guys those. Somebody had to coordinate this.
And this, I had in my notes, I was like, why do sports movies get this wrong all the time? They are fully geared. They practice in their uniforms.
Drives me crazy.
No one ever does that. It's so irksome. The timeline in this movie is very off, though. Like, in some days, like, you think it must be, oh, this must be like 3 days. And they'll be like, oh, remember earlier when I stopped by your office? I was like, no, y'all changed outfits 7 times. This is not
it's
the same
snowing
day.
Outside.
Yeah. So I do blame the timing of it on the fact that they were just like, no one's going to care. No one's going to look into any of this.
All the soccer parts were filmed probably on the same day.
Yes.
Like, just keep your uniforms on. It's all good.
Yeah. It's weird to me, having coached a rec league, knowing the amount of like prep I had to do to be a coach of 5-year-olds. Like, I had to go to a seminar for an hour to like learn about how to diagnose a concussion, which I know was not a concern in the 90s.
Right.
But I had to know, like, I had to know the names of all the kids on the team. I had to send emails to the parents letting them know, like, hey, here's who I am. I had to assign, like, orange slices and stuff. But there's logistics you have to do before a season can start.
Now,
the second plot hole. I don't know why anybody would trust Chester to be a soccer coach. He bullshitted to his boss. He's like, oh, I played soccer. I was great, blah, 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 whatever. But the boss's wife seemed to have a pretty decent understanding of soccer. Yeah. And his answers were such nonsense that she should not have taken this man seriously at all.
Yeah. There was no.
I was a kicker.
Okay. Were you a sweeper? Were you a four? I played them all.
No, sweep was forward, forward, running backwards. Back, halfback, right?
Sweep, what point guard.
It was weird. Yeah, so it just, like, I think, obviously, for the sake of the movie, they can't be like, this man's not a coach. But anybody logically would. And after seeing their very first anything, first game, first practice, you would go, this motherfucker doesn't know what a soccer ball is.
Yeah, like, it should have been, oh, he hears about it, he goes home, is kind of mentioning it to his wife, finds out Matthew schools him in soccer.
Yes.
He takes it to the press. It still doesn't matter. Fuck, Matthew got to play.
Yes.
That's
not what they did at all. That'd be a lot more sense. Now, the next plot hole up here. There's only one girl back from last year's team, and I don't know why.
Never mind.
Yeah, it's the black girl, Larimer. She stands up and delivers a monologue. Where it's one of those where it's like, I am painfully aware that I'm watching acting right now. Like, this is not good. But she stands up and delivers a monologue about how this is a rebuilding year for this team. And she's the only player back from last year. Was she just like a year younger than every other girl on the team? Did they all make traveling teams and bail on the rec league? Did they move the district lines and not tell Hans? Like, how did we wind up in a situation where only one girl was back from last year?
I thought it was like a Yellow Jacket situation where they all crashed.
Jesus.
But, hey.
Not cannibalism.
But they don't talk about it. They don't talk about it. There's no memorials because there's some secrets.
I hope Larimer survived a plane crash.
Well, she seems very happy and well-adjusted with that.
Yeah. I think you said happy, and then balloon showed up in Dana's face. It's almost like your screen, Dana.
I know. It's probably because it's my
host.
Yeah.
It's surprising every time.
Two things on that, which I was going to say. We say Larimer. God, more balloons.
It's happening again. Is it whenever you say Larimer?
I think it's when I do this. Okay, I'm going to stop doing it. So I think. Okay, so we say Larimer's the only person, which, what kind of fucking name is that? Anyway, the black girl is the only returning player from last year. But the Mullins, like, it's our daughter's soccer team, which I think is your next point.
Yep.
So there's two returning people. Secondly, now I can't remember my point because of the balloons. But I don't think it's a rec team. I do think it already is a travel team because I think they do play teams from, like, other cities. But I don't know why I raised it as a point.
Well, but if it's a travel team, when did they try out? Like, you don't just sign up for a travel team.
Try out. Like, really? In certain age groups. So, like, in my hometown, I guess it was still our rec team. But, like, I don't know. I think we switched. But, like, up until a certain grade, you just play in town. And then I think in seventh grade, you start playing the other towns. So, like, because people start winnowing themselves out and just, like, not showing up. So, like, the team gets smaller and the kids who are good usually stick around. And then you start playing other teams. Like, that's how we had it. So, for seventh and eighth grade, we were a travel team.
See, when I was playing soccer as a kid, the town that I lived in had a travel team that was the Classics. And I don't remember if the Classics were any good or not, but, like, my brother tried out for Classics and didn't make it. And there was a whole bunch of dudes who tried out for Classics and didn't make it. And so one of them, their mom was like, well, fuck it, we'll start our own travel team. and they were the Raiders, and that was the team our brother played on until we moved out of Texas. And so, like, but even then, it was like, you got to try out still. You can't, I mean, none of these girls can make contact with the ball. So, like, for them to have, this is the best of the, I'm just confused. I could see if it's like a travel team where you just sign up for it, but there is still the Kimberly plot hole because she had to have been on last year's team. She's conservatively 4 years older than all the other girls on this team. This is her dad's company's soccer team, and her dad is obviously obsessed with winning soccer games. There is no way she was not on this team last year. Like, I don't. And if she was on the team last year, why isn't Larimer like, you guys can't play Kimberly? She fucking sucks. You can't put her out there. She's trash.
Well, there's like, there's that many other people. So she could have been on the team, because Mullen, even when she's on the team, is like, she sucks. Don't play my kid.
Don't play her.
Then so,
why is she on the team, man? Just leave her at home.
Well, because she wants to play soccer.
I guess.
I keep thinking Mullen, Mellon, like from back to school. Thornton Mellon.
Thornton Mellon.
Very confused.
I really wish I could remember my other point, but now I can't. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense that nobody else returned from the team. But you're right. The way like Mullen is so proud of how the team is, there should have been tryouts. And they should have known the team was going to be terrible.
Yes. Yeah. It just it's just
it's
a big
so funny. It's so funny when the girls are mad at soccer.
I mean, it's funny when any kid is bad at any sport. I say that having taken my kid to little athletes in the summer, I'm like, these kids are fucking turds. Like, none of them can do anything athletic. So, like, it is funny, but my kid is four. So it's funnier when it's a four-year-old instead of like a 10-year-old or however fucking all these girls are supposed to be.
It's unclear. Maybe they're in high school. I don't know.
Chu is 8 and Kimberly is 17. I don't know what team this is, because Chu is a tiny little kid.
Yeah, it might be like, well, no, she's definitely in high school because Matthew. I don't know. Speaking of kids, like one of my favorite things when kids are like terrible at things, I've coached a lot of camps and you have to kill time when you're at sports camps because you can't play field hockey all the time. And we would play little games. And there was once this girl who did not know how to skip. And it was the funniest thing in the world to me. So you're making them like move down the field in different ways. And I just kept making them skip because it was so funny. And I'm like falling on the ground laughing at this child. Everybody's like, you can't keep making them skip. I was like, you want to fucking bet? And just kept skip. And watching this like 13-year-old person try to figure out how to fucking skip, you truly will like never forget it. My favorite part of having a whistle and being around children is making them do silly things. Anyway.
I mean, I've seen videos on Instagram probably 2 weeks after they were already on TikTok of like adults asking coworkers, hey man, do you know how to skip? And they'd be like, yeah, obviously. And then they don't remember how to do it. And it's just like watching the frustration and confusion on their faces where it's like, I know how to fucking do this. I don't know what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
What do your arms
and your legs do? What do they
do? I tried it. I can fucking do it still. Like, how come you guys can't do this? But no, they're just, it is comical to watch them fail.
No joy left.
No, none left. Now, I have a little thing I want to talk about here. This movie to me is peak Jack A. Like this was either before Sister Sister or like right when it started. This had to be right at the same time.
227?
After 227, I have to imagine. In my mind, 227 ended on December 31st, 1989. That movie did not make it to the 90s.
Yeah.
As an 80s show for me.
This is before Sister Sister.
Okay, is it after 227?
Let me check.
Because
Sister started in 94.
What was that other show that I used to watch? Amen?
Amen is phenomenal.
I love Amen.
Amen's great,
This is Gordon Helmsley as the preacher. Yeah, this is Sherman after Helmsley. 227.
He was the preacher, and then that handsome man who is not Blair Underwood, who is a fake Blair Underwood, was the deacon. Remember that.
Let me look. But this was after 227 because that ended in 90.
Okay, I was right. This is right in her sweet spot then. But like watching her on screen,
Clifton Davis. So Deacon Ernest Fry was Sherman Helmsley.
There you go.
And Clifton Davis was Reverend Reuben Gregory.
Not Blair Underwood. Not fake Blair.
Anyway, back to this film.
Yeah, right. Back to
this. We can keep talking about Amen.
I used to love it as a kid. But yeah, it feels like they just sent Jack A out. They're like, yeah, man, just say whatever. Just fucking ad lib all the shit. Be Robin Williams. Because it's like they wrote her bullet points and then she just got up there and like Jack A'd the rest of her way through the script.
She's not like, oh no, baby, I'm not gonna say that.
It was bad. It's not nasally enough, but like
catch much. She wasn't that nasally in this film.
Not in this. That's, in 227.
Mary.
Mary. Yeah, I don't really think of her as an actress who always played herself. I don't know why I don't, because that's what she does. But like this movie, just every Jack A performance rolled into one. It's just like, do all your shit, like all of your physical stuff, all your vocal stuff. This is all of it. The way that she ran when she told the girls to run through the cones and then got frustrated when they ran like her. Well, of course. Side note, I did think her vocal on Great Balls of Fire was pretty solid.
What the fuck was that?
They just wanted to have Roddy and Jack A sing.
They just shoehorned it in.
Yeah, like, for no fucking reason.
There's a lot of weird montage. Rodney Dangerfield music floating out there.
Rapping Rodney.
And all this other shit.
No respect. No respect. Let's never forget Rapping Rodney.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Now I did want to toss this out there for you guys. If they remade the movie now, who are you casting as the Jack A character? You couldn't make it now. The protest would be insane. But if you were, who would you cast to be Jack A?
Does it have to be a black woman? Or can I just
It can be whoever you like.
I can do whatever I want with this.
Sure. Jack A Harry.
I'm going Bowen Yang.
Oh, we're going gender flip here. I do. I would love Bowen Yang in this.
Right?
I like that. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's very good.
Thanks, guys. Dave,
I was thinking more like a Melissa McCarthy type, that kind of boisterous sort of thing.
But she's the coach.
Obviously, too big of a star.
Too big.
She's the coach. She's Rodney. Bowen Yang is Jack A.
And see, for me, if we're going like a straight one-to-one comp, you just cast Tiffany Haddish in this role and like that's who you go with and just say, just do Tiffany Haddish shit the whole fucking movie. But I could see you have to get with somebody like, you know, similarly idiosyncratic. It can't just be like an act. You can't put like Jennifer Lawrence in this. Like, yeah, just no. It needs to be somebody that's big. So Aubrey Plaza makes sense to me. Be a very different performance. I could see her doing this. Megan Thee Stallion, I think, would be fun to watch her be good. Jack A. Kristen Schaal, because why the fuck not? Like, you could be weird, idiosyncratic. And then I'm on page with Dave here. Melissa McCarthy should be considered for this role.
She's Rodney Dangerfield. This movie gets remade. I don't know how they're remaking it, but she's Rodney Dangerfield.
if they're making it, it has to be a boys team and they have a girl on there who's going to be a boy who is better than all the boys. It's she's the man is what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
I
welcome Hollywood. We figured it out.
Melissa McCarthy.
You guys
is
love
the
a
coach.
Good remake.
This is just sitting there. Paramount has it. Yeah, I think if Melissa McCarthy could be the head coach, unless you had a bigger male star as the head coach. So if it was like, Kevin Hart's not a big star anymore. I don't know.
No, I think it's got to be a woman.
Big male comedic stars anymore? Like, who's our biggest male comedic actress or like, actor? Because Jonah Hill doesn't really act anymore, I guess. Yeah. Jason Sudeikis? Like, we don't really have that many.
He's not coming back to soccer. He just did Ted Lasso.
Well, Will Ferrell did Kicking and Screaming.
Who's seen that film? How dare you?
I saw it in theaters. I did see it in the theater. But yeah, it's fun to think about because like Jack A is playing herself. So you would need to have somebody who could just kind of do their thing opposite somebody else. But we don't have a guy who's like a Rodney Dangerfield. Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn. He plays himself in everything. Same as Rodney Dangerfield. He's not as funny.
It's Melissa McCarthy. We figured it out. She is the Rodney character. And then we'll figure out Jack A.
With Bowen Yang as the Jack A.
I love it. If I can come up with, a different gay actor to put in that role, it's what, Billy? Billy on the street? No, it's got to be a person of color.
No, Billy has too much gravitas. I was thinking Matt Bomer, same problem. Too good of an actor.
Just give Bowen Yang that big sandwich and just see what he can do with it.
She was eating that sandwich in the strangest way. She was eating it corn on the cob style. Like from the
She was open facing it. No, she was as though it was open in front of her and just eating the contents of it while leaving the bread.
That was a sandwich. I think it might have just been a baguette. Because I don't think there was any meat inside of it. I think she's had a baguette.
Like, I'm gonna eat it. I'll hold it. I'm gonna eat this because then she has to keep eating it take after take. So that's why she's not eating it.
I've heard horror stories of actors who are like, oh, I made a decision to take a really big bite of this sandwich before I started. I had to do every fucking take I do, and I've had like eight sandwiches. So like, I get that.
She's like, I'm not eating this.
Yeah, I'm eating that. Now I did want to introduce us to the eponymous ladybugs. The girls on this team, they I wanted to look up if this came out before or after Mighty Ducks, because it's similar in that every player has like one thing that they do.
They're like the same time. So this came out, they both came out in 92.
Right.
This was March 92. Mighty Ducks is, I have it pulled up. Let me get that. October. So there was a.
So this is before. So Mighty Ducks borrowed from this movie.
7 months. No, I think they were probably shot at the same time.
But so, yeah, so we have the girls on the team. The first we meet is Sally Ann. She loves makeup and boys, and then she just gets forgotten about after they introduce her pretty much until the last 10 minutes.
Why is she talking to us like she's doing like a playmate introduction?
She lists her turn-ons.
I like going for the walks on the beach.
You guys can't see the physical.
I was just like...
It's the hands 12? On the hip and the constant shoulder action
with hot guys.
Yeah,
doing like, that stuff. Going out for pizza with hot guys.
I was like, oh no, this is a problem.
I'm
this
like,
is a,
you're
we're
12.
Your parents. Yeah.
Get Why are shit. We sexualizing these girls?
Well, won't be the like last it. Time. It won't be the last.
I know. Right, so this is the first time I felt uncomfortable.
See,
one
this
of them.
Is not. This is not the first time for me. I will point out as they come. The second girl that we meet is Chu. She is her first name is Carmelita, and I'm like, no, you can't be Carmelita Chu. You can Why be not? Carmelita Reyes, because Carmelita is not a Chinese first name.
So what? Her parents moved here. We're like,
half,
look at this American
half
name.
Chinese,
we love this.
Half
Carmelita's not how many Carmelitas you know. Carmelita's. If it was Susan Chu, sure, that makes sense.
Stop gatekeeping. These Chinese people Carmelita? Were like, this fucking name is great.
I suppose so. It is a great name, but. Carmelita Chu, she is obsessed with butterflies in a way that's concerning. If there's a butterfly anywhere in sight, she can't function anymore. Like her body shuts down, her brain shuts down. Mm. She just stares at that butterfly until it leaves her vision, and that's it. We talked about Larimer a little bit. She returned from last year. She's somehow not the superstar on the team. And in my mind, she was the Pippin to Matthews Jordan, where it's like, oh, she's really good. She has no one to play with on this team until they bring in Matthew. Like, no, she's also bad at soccer somehow. So I'm not, not sure how that Everybody. Happened. Yeah. We have a moment where Jack A is like, oh, no, that's your best player. But then it's just because Jack A is like, well, she's black and black people are better at sports than everyone else. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Facts.
I mean, anyway. Yeah, it's accurate, but I didn't need it thrown in my face in a children's movie. Then we meet Penny Prester, who is painfully shy, very low self-esteem. This
Pester?
Is,
I thought it was Pester.
Pester. It is Pester. I wrote Penny Prester. Prester is better than Pester. Pester. Penny Pester.
It's Pester is not great.
Penny Pester. So Penny Pester. This is the Penny moment is the first time that I felt uncomfortable watching this film. I guess it's not chronologically the first time, but it's the first thing we're going to talk about in this conversation. So there's a part where Chester gives Penny a pep talk because all the other girls are over flirting with like the baseball team boys. And she's sitting by herself and he's like, hey, what's the problem? You don't want to talk to the boys? So essentially she's like, no, because I'm like ugly and gross. So he's like... No, you're not. And there's nothing inherently wrong with an adult telling an adolescent girl that she should not be self-conscious about how she looks, especially if she's having a hard time. The way he did it is extra concerning. So he starts off by having her take her hair down, take her glasses off. Like, all right, I get it. This is a trope. I know that this is a thing that we do. I've seen a lot of movies. But he didn't need to do that. You can say, hey, I think your hair looks great as it is. I think your glasses are wonderful. But like, no, sex it up for me first is what he said.
Hey, little girl.
Sex it up.
Yeah.
Take that hair down.
Shake it out for me.
Pop those glasses up.
Oh, that was rough. That was rough. So then that's concerning. Not the most concerning, but it's not a red flag.
Yeah, wait. Then, can we also uh-oh. Just call it real quickly? Last week when we were talking about Mighty Ducks, you mentioned that in this film, Rodney Dangerfield and Jack A.
Thought they were. Thought that was love interest. I didn't know there was another. I thought Matthew was his kid. Like, I didn't know that he had a fiance at all.
You were wrong. I was like, they were not a love interest.
Mea maxima culpa. Would, but they were. This movie would be a lot funnier if they were a couple.
But remember when they're okay. So just quickly, and I'll let you go to the next one. Bess shows up, his actual fiance, with a book of invitations in the elevator at his job. He is. Jack A winds up being in between them, holding the book of invitations. Someone's like, oh my God. A white lady gets on and goes like, oh my God, who's getting married? And Ronnie Dangerfield is pointing past Jack A to Bess, who's a white woman. And this woman goes, oh, good for you.
She was a little bit too into interracial couples. She was a little bit too supportive.
Lots and lots of babies.
Yeah.
Let's cut this scene. There we go. Let's cut
that. That's one you can cut out. You can cut that shit out.
This was probably Colorado Springs, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was. It was Denver?
No, this is definitely more cut. The way that they were acting, yeah, definitely Colorado Springs, more like it.
Oh,
I was like, I don't like this.
I'm not even going to say why.
So that's another moment where I felt uncomfortable in this film. I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah, she was way too. I've experienced that before, where somebody's a little bit too supportive of me being black, and I'm like, I don't like how this feels. It's a little bit like there's an episode of Happy Endings where Penny has to pretend to be Max's girlfriend, fiance in front of his parents. And so she learns a whole bunch of Yiddish words. And there's a part where his mom is like, and her use of Yiddish is bordering on anti-Semitic. I'm like, that's how this felt. It's like a little bit too much, a little bit too proud of this couple. Back to the pep talk. So at this point, with him just being like, take your hair down, your glasses off, I'm a little bit uncomfortable. It gets so much worse because then he's basically hitting on her, and he's like, hey, you know, if I was a boy your age, then I would definitely ask you out. Problem, bigger problem, is when he sad boys this and is like, oh, but you'd be too pretty for me. And then she's like, no, I would definitely go out with you, and then gives him a kiss on the cheek, and I'm like, where are your parents?
I don't like that. Nah,
if Mr. weird. And Mrs. Pester watch this go down, what the fuck would they be saying right now? Like, you did what? You took her hair down, told her she was hot, got a kiss on the cheek, said you wanted to date her? Like, what?
And the hair, too. I don't mean to criticize this. It's like a lion's mane.
It's big hair.
It's
big hair. She's got a lot of volume.
It's both wide and it's
well, she's been running around all day.
It's 91.
It's true.
We're still doing.
But I was
hair.
Still.
That's true. Her hair is big.
Very surprised when it happened.
It's a lot of it.
There's also a moment in the game, the final game, which I know of. Where
she can't
like,
see shit.
This one's for you, Mister. I don't know.
That's right.
Last name is.
She basically throws her underwear at him.
Takes her glasses off, shakes her hair down, and this is one of those scenes where they shoot it from the waist up. It's Penny running around like from the waist down. It's some boy's legs. Those are not her
grown legs. Man. 100%. They got Diego Maradona out here, like nutmegging people and shit.
They keep switching back and forth. And
they
like,
do.
Because it's literally a shot from like mid thigh down. Yes. And then it's from waist up.
Waist up in
down.
Slow motion. And just hair all in her face. The can't see shit. Cannot know where she is.
She is literally the lion in The Wiz. Not
Wizard of Oz.
The lion in The Wiz.
She's Simba in Hakuna Matata after he gets his hair all frizzy before he moves his head forward and all smooths down somehow.
Yes.
Like, she's that. I'm just like, oh God, no, put it back in the fucking, put that bow back in your hair. You got to see where you're going. But just this whole scene. And I remembered this scene. I remembered that it happened. It was so much worse than I remembered it being. It's bad. I don't know how you wrote that down and did not get on a list somewhere. And then the last girl on the team is Kimberly. In my notes, she's just hot Fulton Reed. She can kick hard as fuck, can't aim worth a damn. That's all she's. She is the exact same Fulton Reed, except she's not a bully. She's the hot girl instead.
Yep. But
those are your ladybugs. That's the team. Okay. Now, they have a game where they are very bad, and they get blown out, and essentially, Chester's boss is like, hey, man, start winning games or you're fucking shit canned. And I'm like, well, that seems insane to me. So he has to begin cheating so that he can keep his job. And so this was the most like paper thin explanation. There's a moment where Chester gets a call from Bess, and Bess mentions that Matthew's been kicked off his soccer team for some like unspecified reason. I don't know why he's off the team.
He stopped doing homework for the past 2 weeks and his grades.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well then, yes, you're probably ineligible. That makes sense to me. So
JV soccer though. He wasn't on varsity.
Well, he's a very scrawny boy. That makes sense to me. Chester kind of is basically like, okay, listen, you know soccer. I don't know dick. Can you come to practice? And I think he says, come to practice and look at the girls. And I was like, oh, come on, man.
Weird word choice.
Phrasing. So yeah, he's like, yeah, come to practice and look at the girls and like tell me what I'm doing wrong or what I can be doing better or whatever. And so he goes down there. He's basically like, I don't want to be here. You fucking suck. The way that he reacts to finding out that he's being asked to do him a favor is like, he's outraged. He's like, is about to jump out of a moving car. I'm pretty sure. He's like, you brought me here for you. I thought it was for me. It's like, I don't like this kid. This is the first time we meet him. And he's angry and like fucking reactionary.
Yeah. He's doing really bad acting. He's not very good. He jumped. His affect changes. So you didn't even bring me out here to talk to me. You did this. You brought me out here to do something for you.
Fuck you. It's insane. Yeah. So he doesn't really want to be there for this. Does he see Kimberly and then walk down to the field, or does he walk down to the field and then see Kimberly?
Walks down and then sees her.
Oh, that's right. Because Chester's like, hey, I'm going to go like talk to the girls. I'll be back here in a minute. Like, don't leave, essentially. Yeah. And so Matthew goes down to watch soccer. We get a really awful scene earlier where we finally, he's got a crush on Kimberly and is like afraid to talk to her. So then he sees her at practice and he's like, oh, I'll stay here to get my dick wet with Kimberly. Sure.
Oh god, gross.
Right. Well, I mean, that's 100% what he was thinking, and I know that because of what happens immediately after. This is the second time I was deeply uncomfortable watching this fucking movie. They do a dream sequence here. I remembered that there was a dream sequence. That's all I recalled. So when it started, I was like, what the fuck? The sequence begins with Kimberly running slow motion towards camera in a spaghetti strap sports bra and briefs.
It's a bathing suit.
Is that a bathing suit?
It's meant to be a bathing suit, like a very high cut bikini.
It's really high cut.
Boobies just jiggling. And I was like,
it's insane.
I was like, I'm like, is this meant to be like Fast Times at
I've never seen anything like this. I'm gonna say I had to look it up. She would have been, well, now that another movie came out in April, she'd have been 15 when they filmed this. You cannot film a 15 year old girl running toward camera in slow motion, titties akimbo, and have me think, oh, this is all right. And then they have that song, like, is it just Dream, Dream, Dream? Is that what the song is called?
Yep.
I don't. Yep. Okay. That's in the background as she's running in slow motion. I was like, oh, no, don't have her in the uniform. It's fine. I don't need to see all this. Then they have, we see them running to get onto a private plane. They have a really fancy hamburger dinner that I think is supposed to be fucking hilarious.
I don't know about fancy.
Take off the dome and the saddest non-topped burgers. It's just bread and meat. Ain't got no cheese. There's not LTOP on there. It's nothing. And then later we see them get married and kiss. And all along, I'm pretty sure every time we see her, except when she's in her underpants, She's in like a strapless bodycon dress. And I'm like, she's 15, man. Like, this is not all right.
Questionable. And at their wedding, there's this big overhang that says our wedding. I'm like, I don't think you would have that
wedding.
Your wedding that says our wedding.
It says our wedding.
Very weird.
Frankly, you cannot have
and
this
his clothing. He looks like a crazy person in that suit in the first part. I thought
he looks absurd.
I bet he thought that looked good too. I had some questionable color.
He did think he looked good.
Ties and stuff when I was younger during that time. But oh boy,
he was his clown.
His mix. Yeah, he looks like weird.
This is around the time where, like, I just thought of this movie, like, My Father the Hero with Gerard Depardieu.
Oh, Gerard Depardieu. Who was the girl in that one? Because I remember I had a crush on her.
Catherine Heigl.
It's Catherine Heigl.
Catherine Heigl.
Wow. Okay.
This is the time of, I believe, Poison Ivy with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah,
and the
probably.
And the Crush. God.
We should do all those movies of the podcast. Not that you mentioned them.
Yeah, Poison Ivy at least. Yeah. We can do all of them.
We can do all
teenagers.
Those. Those are all teen
I've
movies.
Wanted to do The Crush, and I was just like, I don't know.
It's going to make us incredibly uncomfortable.
Hey, if we did Fear, we could
we
do
We did
these
do Fear.
Movies.
We had to watch her get fingered on a roller coaster to Wild Horses. Now, what I will say is...
Oh, I think I actually heard this.
Oh, careful. You cannot have this dream scene in the same movie where Rodney Dangerfield makes a joke about these girls not being old enough to have bras yet. Mm. You can't do them both, man. You cannot have me believe these are prepubescent girls and then show me another one running slow motion at camera like it's goddamn Baywatch. You can't do both of these.
It was weird.
I didn't like it. So I'm uncomfortable like twice in the first, 30 minutes maybe? Then we see that the plan here is, we have to have Martha joined the team because we had that first game. The girls are bad. I'm gonna get fired. Can't marry your mom if I'm a broke bitch. So the plan is have Matthew join the team, but they don't do the traditional. We have to do like a makeover and make you into a girl. They cut from no, I'm not gonna do it. And then they just, I think they might have like, is it like a wipe or does the screen like rotate around like a sound effect or something?
Even better, he gives his ideas like how the team could be better, and then I thought Rodney was having a stroke for
that's
a second.
Right.
His face like turns like Chester. No,
he gets
Chester,
really excited.
Absolutely not, Chester. No way, not gonna happen, Chester. No,
he's like, if I were out there,
boom. That's what I would do. If I was out there. Yeah, it's.
I'm sorry, sir. Are you smelling toast? No, that's a heart attack.
Yeah,
hold your arms up.
Toast is a stroke.
It's also a stroke, dude. Toast is a stroke. Smells like burnt hair.
That's right.
That's from The Sopranos.
Yeah. But yeah, it just. I mean, they go from I'm not gonna do this. They have like a record scratch or like a wacky sound effect, and then he's in a wig, and that is the entirety of his makeover. They don't put him in makeup. They don't do that thing where it's like, we got to work on your girl voice or to walk like a girl or like you have to know what girls like. And so we're going to have you watch music videos and none of that shit. It's just he is a boy in a wig and you're like, yep, that's good enough for me. Yeah.
And the thing that's interesting, we didn't get just one of the boys, got to learn how to be a girl.
That's right.
It's also like, so it kept annoying me that like, he's always the only person with that is shirt tucked in on the field.
Yes.
And that's not allowed. Like,
no.
You have to have your shirt tucked in.
Yeah. Well, it can come untucked. You cannot go to begin the game with your shirt untucked.
Yeah. And I was just like, why are they? It's just so obvious that this one's not like the other ones.
Now that you mention it, was his shirt untucked to hide his bulge or was his shirt untucked because he's a boy? I want tucking this shit in.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Explain it. And they always get certain sports details wrong. Yep. And this is one of those ones where he's the only one without a shirt tucked in. So it makes him stand out. And it's like, oh, we can't tuck it in because he doesn't have boobs. Shove a fucking sports bra on him with some socks in it.
You know
like,
who else
didn't
have boobs? Chew and Larimer because they're 9 fucking years old. Like most of these girls are not developed at all except for Kimberly, who's in college or some shit.
She's the same age as Jonathan Brandis, though. They're both
thank
born
God.
In 76. So.
I mean, that's good. But yeah, they don't like even looking at the wig they put him in. It is essentially the same length as like Jonathan Taylor Thomas's hair from like a year after this. Like, it's not like his hair is down to his butt. It's just it's styled differently, but it's not a long wig. It's like what, ear length hair, a short bob. He's got a bob.
With the bang.
Yeah,
with the bang.
Yeah,
I think the thing was so interesting that like in one of the first games there was a girl who had the exact same haircut as Jonathan Brandis did as Matthew. So sure I was just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
what
we don't need doing? To, you know, no. And then focus on your makeup to convince me more than the hair.
You don't need makeup. You shouldn't wear makeup when you play sports.
Agreed.
I'll
tell that to Angel Reese. Plays basketball in full false flashes.
I was like, all this stuff's gonna fall. This is that wig's gonna fall off, and it's gonna be over. But I guess
Bobby pins.
We didn't see Jack A's teaching him how to pin down a wig.
That is the scene we needed. Mm-hmm. Well, her wig was deeply unfortunate.
Yeah. There's also a lot of bad wigs in the final game. A lot of bad wigs because it's stunt boys in wigs.
Oh, I did not clock them.
You didn't.
Too distracted. I was too distracted by the girl in the full ACL tear knee brace.
Yeah,
like a Stone Cold Steve Walker, Steve Austin knee brace. I'm like, what happened? No, this is bad.
In a lot of the games, anybody who's good at soccer is just an actual. Jonathan Brandis is also an actual boy, but they did for anybody who's good at soccer on the opposing teams, it is just a boy in a wig. Oh, and I'm like, I'm sure there were girls who were good at soccer.
That's hilarious to me. We're not even going to look for them. We're just going to decide they don't exist. Oh, no. God. Okay. So then as part of this alleged makeover, we get a scene where they go to buy him a dress.
Oh, God.
I'm pretty sure this is a scene you can cut out entirely. I don't need this at all. But I'm pretty sure we just got
those jokes. You gotta get those hilarious jokes.
Well, you know what's okay.
I typed them all out. If you'd like me to read them for you.
We don't need that. What? You want to pick a couple? You can go for it.
I'll read the whole fucking thing. It's not very long.
We got time. Read the list.
Okay. So they go to I think it's just a local. It's not a national chain. It's a local dress store at the mall.
Yeah.
Which it should be a Mullen Mall, but again, we don't talk about that. Anyway.
It might have been, I guess. I guess we don't know.
So they're going in and they need to buy a dress and they're like, well, what size? And Rodney Dangerfield points at Jonathan Brandis and is like, oh, his size. And the woman's like, what the fuck? Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, it's for his twin sister. They're the same size. And he's like, okay, great. Here you go. And then he's like, well, I need you to try it on. Yeah, it's like, I need you to try it on to see if it would fit. And the woman's like, what the fuck again?
Right.
With her eyes, her facial expressions, not out loud. So then they go into the fitting room and Rodney goes in at one point. Oh, because Jonathan can't zip up the zip in the back. Because, oh my God, men's clothes, nothing zips in the back for you fuckers.
I don't know why it does for y'all. It seems dumb as hell.
Seems. Look, the dress. We don't want it on the... Anyway, fit, whatever. So he has to go in with them and there's another woman and her daughter show up and they're sitting outside the dress room. They notice two feet in there. We hear a man's voice and we hear Rodney go, don't worry, I'll be finished soon. Because you hear like Jonathan going like, ow, and he goes, ow, take it easy. That hurts.
Two people standing up facing each other.
Facing each other.
That's the angles.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, and frankly, I mean, he was saying, ow, ow, because he was trying to get his wig on him. I'm sorry.
Because there's one more line, and this is the line that really sends it. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
He goes, don't worry if it's too tight. You'll get used to it.
There's a very similar scene in Dead Man on Campus that I remember. As soon as I saw this, I was like, oh, God, Josh, you're so anal. I'm like, oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
You just hear people like, it's all out of context, obviously. But, of course. It's bad. Sitting there just like that, it's bad.
And the whole point of this scene is just so we can see this woman have what might be the hardest pratfall in the history of film.
Yes.
She falls hard. Like they come out of the dressing room. I don't know why this is the reaction that Martha or Matthew and Chester have, but they walk out and the reaction is as though they know this woman and they recognize her and they're going to get exposed and they like go running off. And then, or I guess Matthew goes running off. Chester stays behind and like talks to this lady's daughter, I suppose, or maybe granddaughter. It was kind of an older lady. Yeah, and like touches her cheek, and then this lady, I think, fully like has a seizure, falls off the bench hard and lies motionless on the ground, which she hits. Not, but that was the whole point of that scene.
Doesn't go to get authorities. It's just, look at this. This is so funny. I was like, this is so inappropriate. I was just like, what the fuck?
You know, it is, but I'll tell you, I'm certain in whatever that Balls show we talked about before is, I know they have a scene that's like this, and it's probably so much more offensive now.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the way that they handled this was Midwestern polite, I would say. They're just like, oh, I'll help you. I'm going to roll my eyes when you can't see, though. Like, that's basically what they got. Whereas, like, I think if this happened now, someone is tackling Chester to the ground and, like, calling the police and, like, all of this. And so, yeah, they handled this with more tact, I think, than it would be done now, 31 years later.
Yeah, it was just that joke, that last joke. Don't worry if it's too tight, you'll get used to it.
It was a lot. It was a fucking lot. Not far off from like, just hold still, I'll be done soon. Not great. So after this is the next part, that the third part that made me uncomfortable. Oh God. Okay, so they have a soccer game. I think they win this one. They do. They win the game, and then somehow, and they didn't explain this, somehow Martha and Chester wind up separated. They had to come to the game together. Matthew can't drive and his mom ain't there. So like he got to the game. They did not leave together. Martha winds up going to Kimberly's house with all the other girls on the team to celebrate. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense. Chester gets a call on his car phone in a complete panic from Matthew, saying all the girls are going skinny dipping to celebrate. What did you just say to me?
Right?
It is broad daylight. It's the middle of the fucking day. There is not a single parent at this house except for the wife, the mother of Kimberly, and her grown ass father, who we know was also in the house. So like, you're going to have a gaggle of nude, naked 12-year-olds in the pool kicking it. And dad is just like, y'all want some snacks? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I promise you, I have never been like, oh my God, practice or game, whatever. Let's go all get naked in a pool together.
Butt naked and swim together. What a great practice we had. Like, no.
Never happened.
I am convinced, man. Adrenochrome. Yep. It's all real. Based on this, I'm like, I saw this and I'm like, you know what? Somebody, someone wrote this and they're like, oh yeah, this is what I want to see. I'm like,
I mean,
I just don't get who thinks that this is a real scenario. That's even something that's even plausible, that makes any sense. It's
and not for nothing, we know that Penny is like cripplingly self-conscious about her looks. So is she really going to get booty butt naked in front of all these girls, like have a party? Like, what are we talking about? Why would they do this?
They just needed to go swimming. I was like, oh, they're going swimming. That's all
totally
it needed
to be. All you needed.
Because that's still too much for Martha.
Yes.
Matthew doesn't know how to tuck his dick back.
No.
Or, you know, like, it's that simple. They just needed to get into bathing suits.
I've seen, I believe, every episode of I Am Jazz. I know that there's been many episodes where Jazz was like, when I was a kid and I wanted to go swimming, I had to wear, like, a sarong around my waist because I had a penis and like, I didn't want the other kids to know. And so like, I guess they probably knew, but she was self-conscious about it, of course. And so like, when she had her bottom surgery and she was able to wear like a swimsuit for the first time, that was a really big deal for her to be like comfortable doing that. All you had to do, you're right, Dana, is be like, oh, we're going to go swimming in the pool. I don't have a swimsuit. You know, Kimberly gave me one of hers to wear. My whole dick is out. Like, I don't know how to handle this.
Yes.
My dick and balls are everywhere. Like, that's the right play here. But to try to convince me that all these girls between, I don't know, 9 and 17 years old are going to get nude and swim at 2 p.m. when there's a dad in the house? Like, what are you talking about? Oh, it was fucking nuts. And then, of course, that leads to Chester putting on a dress and going there to pick her up. And I don't know how that mom didn't recognize Chester. Like, he had on a veil, but it was gossamer. Like, you could see right through that shit. I don't know what was happening there.
Wait, that's Chester's body shape. This poor
I saw him 4 minutes ago. What the fuck is this? That's his van right there. So another thing that happened with the Matthew Martha mix up of it all, there's what I always refer to as the Flintstones water buffaloes dilemma. I think I got that from Boy Meets World. There's an episode where Corey has to have like two dates at the same time or whatever. But there's an episode of the Flintstones where I think it's like Pebbles' first birthday and also like the water buffaloes convention or whatever that Fred has to go to. And he has to do both, and he's running back and forth across town, and then lo and behold, he shows up at the birthday party with the bottle buffalo's hat on, he gets hit with a frying pan, and that's how the whole thing falls apart. That's basically what happens here. Kimberly shows up at Matthew's house because someone told her Martha lived there. Huge fucking plot hole. How would anyone know where Martha lives? Martha's not real. So, like, why does anyone know where she lives? Okay, so Kimberly shows up. If it's me, I just don't answer the door, man. She doesn't know you're in there. Like, you could just not. She'll leave eventually. But of course, he's like, oh my God, I have to answer the door. What am I going to do? So he puts on the wig and one of his 45 floral dresses, because pretty sure every dress in this movie is floral print with a lot of lace on it. So he puts on the dress. They're hanging out watching music videos. Oopsie doopsie. 10 seconds later, Chester and Bess also show up. So now Matthew has to be Matthew and Martha in the same house at the same time. There's a whole thing where it's like, I'll get us Cokes. Oh, no, we're out of Coke. I forgot the Cokes. Bess drank the Coke. Let's go get Cokes. It's Coke product placement is aggressive in this scene. Of course, in the end, Bess sees Matthew in his Martha get up and is very confused. And like at first, she's kind of like, what's going on, guys? And then she's like, no, serious, what the fuck is going on? She gets so pissed so fast. And that's where this whole thing kind of gets explained. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about how the movie ends in a sec here with the big game. But a little bit later on, we get a scene where Martha has to go and tell Kimberly, I'm really a dude. He pulls his dick out in front of her, right? Like, that's what happened in that scene, isn't it? Pretty sure he pulled his dick out.
Because you think she's not buying it.
Well, the movie tells us.
He says,
I have something I want to. What he says is, I have something I have to show you. Outside the house and we hear her scream. So, like, you pulled your dick out. Like, what else are you showing her?
I guess he could have
pulled
his
shirt up. Pull the wig off.
If it's innocent, it's just, I took the wig off. If it's not so innocent, he just, like,
I think if it's taking the wig off, the movie shows us that. I don't think they have to cut away from taking the wig off.
I think they want your mind to go to he's showing his dick right now.
Because he walks up
his dick out.
He walks up and is like, from the neck down, he's in his boy clothes, but he put his wig on. So I thought it was just,
oh, that's what happened.
Take my wig off. Yeah.
I was pretty sure he pulled his dick out. Anyway, this movie, because it's a sports movie, it has to end with the big game. Was this for like the league title? Is that what it was? Did they say? Because I know the whole thing was like the Ladybugs always win the league and you have to help us win.
You know,
in my mind,
this
is the championship game.
If America's number one youth soccer publication.
Oh, yes.
Let's Play Soccer magazine.
Or like, let's have a Jan here and have him with the chalk tell you where all the.
Well, we did see. We did see like the things to reveal the score get progressively crazier.
That was ridiculous.
He spent $100,000.
All the stuff around it just had two little like flaps, like, oh, the score 6-3. I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Chester is watching his promotion money go to the scoreboard, the weekly scoreboard.
You can't pay me. We got scoreboard money.
So
brand new scoreboard each week.
It's a write-off. It's a
business expense. But my thought process is, just imagine it's a Monday morning. You already don't want to be there, and then your boss is like, hey, meeting in the conference room in 10 minutes. I gotta show you the score of my daughter's soccer game from this week. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yo, Duckworth from last week wouldn't even pony up $15,000 to cover the cost of the thing. And this guy's spending $15,000 a new scoreboard every week.
At minimum.
And Papa Champs.
Oh my god. Yes. Champs. At 8 a.m. on a Monday. He's got a drinking problem. So they have what I'm assuming is like the league title game at the end of this movie. Farmer Fran, Coach Bull. He brought an entire obstacle course to the game for warm-ups, I've noticed. He's this is why I assume it was Colorado Springs, because the Air Force is there. But like he's giving military, obviously, and like screaming in these girls' faces. And I'm like, I'm watching them climb up a rope and like jump over a wall and hit a heavy bag. And I'm like, that's a textbook way to make sure your team is too tired to compete.
Yeah.
They're gonna have no fucking energy left.
Correct.
They did a full like Spartan run first.
I refused one day and got in big trouble in gym class because we were going to play a state like tournament game for field hockey, and they tried to make us run our like regular like court like monthly 3/4 mile run. I was like, absolutely not. I gotta save my energy. I got a state playoff game. I'm not doing it. And boy oh boy, did I get in trouble for that. And
boy,
detention.
Oh boy, did I get
I like detention. Detention. Oh, I guess it is a class or skipping. I guess that does make sense.
No, I was there. I was there.
You were physically there.
I was physically there and yelled at Coach Fox, and I was like, I will not be doing this. And you can take it up with whomever you want, but I am not running 3/4 mile. I don't think say go fuck yourself, but that was my energy.
See, my dedication to high school sports was the opposite. There was a day that it was like maybe 30 degrees. It was cold as shit during the football season. And we had a mobile blood donation truck like come in front of the school for the day. And I was like, oh, if I give blood, guess who ain't practicing today is fucking me. And so like, I think of the whatever 65 or 70 guys on the team, probably 55 of us gave blood that day. I'm like, yeah, none of us want to fucking practice. It's cold as shit. Our coach was mad. Yeah. We're like, well, what do you want us to do, coach? We're donating blood to help people who have blood problems. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm 17.
We're trying to help the vampires, coach.
Dude, there's a don't blood shortage or something.
Don't you see?
Morbius hasn't come up with synthetic blood yet. So then, I will be donating.
We don't have true blood yet. We don't.
I mean, you ever had blood pudding, coach? Where do you think they get the blood? So yeah, I skipped on that. My dedication to high school football was low. If it was high enough, I would have played in college. But I'm like, no, fuck it. I'm here to like have a little bit of fun with my friends. And that was basically it for me. Now, I forget how this came about. In this final game, Larimer gets to be good at soccer. I don't know what happens first, but they put on hip hop music and all of a sudden Larimer is dribbling through people and making girls fall over and shit.
Jack A takes her aside and teaches her how to trash talk or something. Oh, right. I forget what she says ahead of it. And I was just like, I didn't need this. Yeah, I don't need the black girl to learn how to be sassy to be better at soccer.
And the whole time we see Larimer doing her great soccer, there's obvious ADR of her talking about their mamas and shit. So I'm like, okay, well, we're doing that now.
I'm like, it's not even clever. You're not even giving me Muhammad Ali. You're just being an asshole.
Your mama ain't shit. I'm like, it's not a joke, man. In this last game, Chu is a killer in goal, which didn't make any fucking sense. She's absolute trash in goal the first time we see her. And it's like, you have to just show her be detected by butterflies the whole time. They don't do that. They just show her. It's basically the opening credits from Daria playing volleyball. The ball goes by her. It's like, she's not trying. Yeah. So like in the last game, she goes to Chester. She's like, hey, I'm ready to play in goal, coach. And he's like, all right, get in there. And she's Hope Solo. And I'm like, well, who was in goal before this? Who like got you all these wins? I don't know. Then we also have a scene where Sally Ann gets fouled and breaks a nail. And that's the only scene from the movie that I remembered somehow. But Get Those Nail Breakers is a chant that breaks
nail.
Out. They broke her nail. And like the whole crowd is incensed by this. That turns her into Ronaldinho. So like, I don't know. These girls need a little bit of tiny motivation and they're all as good as Martha all of a sudden.
That's right.
Now, the other things we get from this last game is that Kimberly's parents are horrible people. Because we said her dad was like, you aren't allowed to play. You can come and sit in the stands with us and cheer your teammates on. Or you can stay your ass at home. You're not playing today. So she stays at home. Martha cannot play in this game because obviously his mom is like, you're not fucking doing this. And also, we have to break up now, Chester. Like, this is it for us, is what she should have said. But he goes to get her and bring her to the game. She plays. Her dad is pissed. She gets fouled for a penalty kick.
Oh, never seen this before.
Right. This is so interesting. Weird. This is a brand new thing. Again,
yep.
I can't help but say Mighty recently. Ducks borrowed from this movie. They borrowed heavily. So they point out that if it's a penalty kick, any player can take the kick, which is true. Mm-hmm. Kimberly takes it herself because Chess is like, no, it's your kick, Kimberly. This, the way they film and edit this,
terrible.
She kicks it in a way that had me saying, this is Roberto Baggio in...
It's 8,000 feet above the goal. Exactly.
Right. Yes. Roberto Baggio, 92 World Cup, penalty kick, over the crossbar. I'm like, how have you punted
ridiculous.
This shit?
Ridiculous.
Nuts. Yeah. So yeah, that's what happens here. And I'm like, oh, this ball is going nowhere near the goal. And then it goes in, but it's still going up as it goes in. And I'm like, you showed it coming down a second ago. Yeah. Yep. So she makes, I know. This is me overanalyzing, but she makes the goal. All the cheering breaks out, but it takes her mom to like tap her dad on the shoulder, like, hey, we did it. It's like you didn't hear everyone around you erupt in applause, and I apparently not.
He wasn't watching. Ugh, Kimberly's doing something. I don't care.
That girl is doing something again. They win the big game. Parents are all really excited. Could have been the end of the movie. Instead, they tack on a scene that I did not need. I completely unnecessary. We see all these boys in.
Oh no, Mullen. No! So then we get it wrapped up where they win.
Yeah.
Mr. Mullen's like, Chester, you get the promo.
Well, that's right.
Bess is waiting at the car, takes Chester back.
The no day after asked. She finds out. Right.
Matthew and Kimberly kiss.
They do kiss.
All gravy.
They do kiss. Happy what endings all around.
Because I can quit my job now. Yeah. I'm back with you, Chester. Let's do it. I don't want to work no more.
You dressed my son up as a girl for lied to me.
A number of weeks, perhaps months.
But sure.
It's been up for a long time.
It's all good.
Yeah,
all
everything, good everything's fine. Everyone's happy. We get the shot on the bus of all these boys in Mullen baseball uniforms.
A nice charter bus.
Yeah, nice charter bus. And Chester is giving them a pep talk about how they're going to go out there and they're going to win because you're men. And that's what you do as men is you win. All right, men, you ready with there be men? We're all men. All right, men. Uh-huh. And they get off the bus. And then Tommy Lasorda, of all people, shows up for a cameo. And is like, hey, I'm a baseball coach, too. And I heard that you put a girl
in the film.
In the film. Yeah, I heard you put a...
Cannoli.
Coach Cannoli. He walks up and he's like, hey, are you Chester Lee? Well, I'm Coach Cannoli.
What? What?
So fucked.
And he's like, yeah, I heard that when you coach soccer, you had a boy on the team, blah, blah, blah. And Chester's like, I would never do that. How dare you, sir? I'd never. And then we cut. And of course, it's all the boys. Everything's like, all right, girls, get out there and win. And it's all the boys in the team in wigs, which is 100% what Ben Shapiro thinks will happen if trans kids get to play sports.
Yeah, hey, if he keeps getting away with it, he's just like, I'll have the whole team this time because I'll get away with it.
This is BS high. I mean, that's what this is. This is just Bishop Sycamore.
Bishop Sycamore. Oh,
it's perfect. It's a perfect documentary.
But that's like Mullen loudly says to like Jack A., oh, I heard Chester put a boy on the team. That's the ingenuity and outside of the box.
Yes.
I was like, shh, don't say that out loud.
Well, and you
because
know what
one
else?
Person hears there's a boy on the team. All your fucking wins are
take that banner down, vacate those wins. But see, and that's the part that the last point that I have here is I don't know about commercial real estate. It's not my field of expertise. This company has got to be up to its eyeballs in corruption. He finds out. You have cheated your way to all of these wins on my daughter's soccer team. And his response is, you get the promotion. I need to get you on the fast track to partner. And I'm just like, well, that's not, you guys are going to get sued or shut down or you're doing something wrong. Yeah, it's
outside
it's,
the box thinking. Well, that's what it takes to win.
Talking about box. One of the things we like One of the things we like doing on this pod is taking a look at a minor character to see if this movie was a start of big things, the peak of their whole career. So it's time for an IMDb deep dive. We're diving on, I guess it's Jandy Swanson, Penny Pester. She has 22 total credits. This is her 18th credit. So like basically right at the end of her career. Her first role was a trick-or-treater in a TV show called My Sister Sam in 1987. She was in Less Than Zero, which I think it's the whole Brat Pack, right? I know it's a James Bader movie.
No, that's St. Elmo's Fire.
No, he's in that too. I think he's the male lead in Less Than Zero, isn't he?
I think that was Andrew McCarthy and
just like Robert, one, maybe Robert Downey Jr.
And Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, shit. Well, shame on me. Well, she's in that. She's in one episode each of Matlock, Full House, L.A. Law, and Star Trek The Next Generation. She is in Pumpkinhead, two episodes of Designing Women, an ABC After School Special, three episodes of Baywatch. Then she plays young Dorothy in one episode of Golden Girls, and I want to watch that fucking episode. I've not seen it yet. I want to see all of them as little kids. Like, I want to go back and watch that. Then 1992 was a big year for her. So she was in A Woman Scorned, the Betty Broderick story as Debbie Broderick. I'm assuming that was a made-for-TV film. Wow. Then she was in Ladybugs. And then in that same year, she was in Her Final Fury, Betty Broderick, the last chapter as Debbie Broderick again. So they made two Betty Broderick movies in 92. I don't know what... Oh, you don't know Betty Broderick?
Oh, they just made another like mini series.
Dirty John Betty was about Betty Broderick.
Yeah.
So she kills her husband is the important part of the story. She murders her husband. But I think it must have been right around 92 because for them to make two made for TV movies in the same year, I always lump Betty Broderick together with Lorena Bobbitt and Mary Jo Buttafuoco. Where it's just like, it's just there was a stretch of insane true crime stories in the early 90s.
That's all you had to say on late night TV.
Yeah. Like, Buttafuoco.
She murdered her ex-husband and his second wife in 89, and her second trial began in 91.
So there you go. Oh. So this is probably right after the sentencing, I'm assuming. So then she was in Roseanne and Unauthorized Biography in 94. So like pretty early on in the Roseanne story to be making biographies about her. She's in one episode of Beverly Hills 90210. And then her final role was something called I Love Your Work in 2003. She's produced four things since 2016 and was a production manager in 2022's Cinnamon with Damon Wayans and Pam Grier. I think Pam Grier plays Cinnamon in that movie. It's like a blaxploitation kind of a send-up film. But yeah, I mean, to go from 2003, be out of the industry for 13 years and then get back in it, that's kind of interesting. She was fine in this movie. She obviously had a bit of a career, and then I think she might have just been like, yeah, I'm done with this. But there is your Penny Pester. That does bring us to the end of this episode. And just like the end of the school year, that means it's 10 nuts and superlatives. It's similar to last week. They all have one trait. So bear with me here. Sally Ann is most likely to put on a full face of makeup before going to the gym. Larimer is most likely to read a bitch for absolute filth. Chu is most likely to become an entomologist. Penny is most likely to refer to herself as an ugly duckling when she was a child. Kimberly is most likely to have a strained relationship with her mom and dad. And Matthew is most likely to make a grand gesture to impress a girl he barely knows. This next movie is Dana's pick. Dana, what are we going to talk about next?
Okay, so I first thought, I was like, oh, there's a Christmas movie we had forgotten about.
Oh.
With a teen in it, because Bill told me the main character was a teen. But it's not, because in Gremlins, the main character works at a fucking bank.
Yeah, no, he's not a teen. That man's got a full job. He lives alone.
I thought he was a little kid. Not a little kid, but like a teenager. Still in high school.
No, he's got a whole career and everything.
Okay, well, I was excited to pick that one. And then I did some research and I was like, Homeboy is not a kid.
No.
So then this other film I picked is because earlier this month, this gentleman received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It is set over winter break, and it's one I've always been thinking about doing. And it is The Good Son, also from like 92 or 93 or something.
Let's all get real creeped out.
Starring Macaulay Culkin. It's the movie it's the reason why he couldn't be in Rookie of the Year. He was doing his One For Me film.
Yeah.
The Good Son.
God, I remember the trailer like it was fucking yesterday. Yep. Because it was, I was obsessed with Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone. I'm like, what is this movie? What is this?
Yeah.
Can we go see that? My parents are like, we're not going to see that.
Yeah, this trailer, and for whatever reason, Dolores Claiborne is something I saw the preview for, but never actually saw.
That's Kathy Bates, right?
It was Kathy Bates.
See, never saw that movie. Know the trailer though. I know.
Post snow. Misery, she made this very interesting.
Oh yeah, God, yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I've never seen it, but I was aware of it as a kid. Yeah, I just know it was creepy as shit, and I don't know really anything about it other than like this is an unsettling film. So
yeah, so this big will shift be right from... before Christmas. So yeah. I really was trying. I really thought Gremlins. I thought he was a teenager in that.
I think
one,
the
and that
only
was gonna
one,
be our Christmas movie.
The only one is I'll Be Home for Christmas, starring Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And Devon Sawa, I think they're both in that one together.
In which one?
I'll Be Home for Christmas, or is that just Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
I'm not sure.
Or just Devon Sawa. One of them is in that movie, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I've never seen it, but it's like it's the only one that I can think of that's like an explicitly teen Christmas movie. We're like, I don't want to watch that though. Yeah, The Good Son. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Guys, that does it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Recapping Gown Pod. That is RECAPNGOWNPOD. And join our Facebook group, the Recapping Gown Fan Club. We'll keep the discussion going in there all week. If you guys have any opinions or memories of this movie, we'd love for you to jump in and let us know what you think. But if you didn't like what you heard, to quote Harland, to me, you look like a giant asshole. Millennials, see you next week.